Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn.
Welcome. I'm Dr. Richard Tooley, and here with me today is Ann White.
Thank you, Richard. It's such a pleasure to be here.
So we're going to start off right into the middle of this.
Okay.
Courage is an interesting word. Define courage for us.
You know, Richard, courage for me is all about taking a risk and trusting God with the outcome.
How do you know what risks to take?
I think it varies for all of us. For me, it was about taking a risk to tell someone how bad I was hurting and the crisis that I was in at that point in my life just a few years ago.
Okay, so we have this book here. It's called Seven Steps to Courage, and as I look at it, it's a pragmatic approach mm-hmm. to discussing courage mm-hmm. and understanding courage. So faith and courage, you know, it's kind of like two interesting words there. And
right.
Sometimes they don't want to put them together.
Mm-hmm.
But do you believe, like, in order to have courage, you need faith, and in order to have faith, you need courage?
Absolutely. I think they are synonymous, because courage is dependent on having faith in God. Because when I said, you know, for me, courage is taking a risk and trusting God with the outcome, that's what I experienced. But without that faith and trust in God that He's got this, that He knows the outcome and the best outcome for us, we can't sometimes take that risk, because we're in fear trying to hold on to control, trying to hold on thinking that we know the best outcome for us. How can we manipulate that outcome? It takes a lot of courage to lay that down, to lay that control down and to just say, God, you've got this. I'm going to trust you with it. I'm going to step out in faith. And so faith is synonymous with courage. I agree.
So how do we, let's take this journey that brought you to the point of writing this book.
Sure.
Was this topic always a passion for you, or were you?
No, it really wasn't. I think it was something I always needed. I think I needed courage from the time I was a little girl. Didn't know I lacked it. Thought I was being courageous by persevering and just dealing and just trying to control situations. You know, that felt courageous to me, to isolate myself and to hold on to my issues. So in the book, Seven Steps to Courage, I talk about the journey that I took about 4 years ago when God brought me to a breaking point. And it just so happened, that breaking point actually happened when I was sitting in a hotel room in Israel, overlooking the Sea of Galilee. It was a pretty surreal experience. I was on a trip with my oldest son, and we were touring Israel with our pastor, his wife, and about 40 other church members. And what in a time that should have been one of the most amazing times in my life, and it was. I still have wonderful memories of that trip. I was dying inside. Absolutely dying inside, and I lacked the courage to tell anyone that I was dying inside. And that's when God brought me to that point and said, you can no longer isolate this brokenness and hurt that you've been dealing with since you were a little girl, and that it has just magnified and multiplied in all of the baggage that you've kind of compiled through the years that we do. It's got to stop, and you've got to ask for help.
So you know, it seems like oftentimes we come to this point where we're struggling with something and it's killing us. I mean, mm-hmm. it's eating us from the inside out. What do you think it is that stops us from seeking help?
Fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of change. You know, they say, and we've all heard it so often, that many times we don't change until the pain of staying the same becomes greater than the pain of the change. And we're afraid of that pain of change, that fear of not knowing what's it going to be like on the other side. You know, what if I leave this place where I'm at that I know is not right for me, but it's my comfort zone, it's all I know. And so I know I can deal with the here and now. What if I change this? And so in Seven Steps to Courage, I talk about one of the most important steps is commit to change. Have the courage to commit to change. As a matter of fact, throughout my journey over 2.5 years of exercising my courage muscles, getting the help that I needed, coming out of isolation, and beginning to write this book, I came up with an acrostic for the word courage that kind of modeled each step that I went through in the process to heal those broken hurts. And the very first step is the C step to courage, which is commit to change. You've got to make that commitment and trust God that it's going to be okay on the other side.
Okay, so let's take this so people can understand this. This concept of committing to change. You're in this place in your life where you know it's not where you want to be, and it's not good for you, and it's something that basically, as a result of, if we can simplistically put it, control issues. You know, if I can control it, it won't hurt me so bad, and I'll keep moving on. And time will kind of erase some of it, but I'll just keep controlling things so that I... But pretty soon, that as we control like this, the road or the trajectory we're on becomes narrower and more confining to us, till it comes to a point where it isn't going to work anymore.
Right. Well, here's where it kind of all started. As a child, I grew up in a household, and I talk about this in the book. I grew up in a household where there was a lot of... my father was a good man on one hand, and very angry. He dealt with a lot of demons of his own. And so he had a very volatile temper. My mom was a codependent. And for your listeners who are not familiar with that term, it's someone who really tries to enable and care for and keep everything at peace and, you know, just kind of make sure that everybody else is okay at the neglect of taking care of themselves and really doing what's right to fix things. So I loved my mom. She was my hero. I looked up to her and I wanted to be just like her. But I did. I modeled that same behavior. Just do whatever you've got to do to keep the peace and keep quiet. And then in the interim, also don't tell anybody this is going on because they wouldn't understand. They might judge you. You're the only one going through this. Nobody else is experiencing this. So you just don't tell anybody. And I carried that through my teenage years, met my husband in my teens. We married in our early 20s, started having children. He has a successful business that he started in his early 20s that he's been very successful at. So you just kind of go through the motions and you just carry all of this along. But I got to that breaking point in my mid-40s, and we were there on that trip, and my husband and I were contemplating divorce. We're talking very seriously because we just had done so much damage to one another. We both come from a broken past, and we continue to break one another and hurt one another. And so there was so much anger, mistrust, you know. And you just kind of push through, and you think you're controlling because you're just kind of pushing through and saying, I'm just going to pretend everything is okay. I'm going to put this mask on, which we often do in church. We were going to church. I was teaching.
How are you doing? Fine.
Yeah. Teaching Bible study, you're walking in the door and you're like, okay, you want to present yourself the perfect family. You know how we always do? Many of us can relate to this scenario, okay, especially if you have little children. You're getting ready for church. You're fussing with the kids. You're throwing them in the car. You're rushing to church. Everybody's grumpy when they get there, and you step out that door and you just go, and you put on this facade that, oh boy, are we the perfect little church family? And that's what I always did. But that will eventually come crashing and burning, and oftentimes it's at the cost of marriages, and families are broken apart because we don't come out and talk about what's going on, and that's what almost happened to us.
That's a good point. You see, there's a guilt that goes with being less than perfect as Christians. I mean, why as a Christian, and I know God's leading in my life, do I have this going on?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I must not be doing it right, and we can pile guilt on top of ourselves.
Guilt, shame, self-condemnation.
Yeah.
We carry it all very well.
And fear.
And fear. And fear is at the root of it.
Because we don't want anybody else out there in that Christian community to go, oh, so you really don't have that relationship with God that you should have. Because if you had that relationship with God that you should have, you wouldn't be where you are now.
Right.
We're going to take a break right here.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll continue our exploration of this topic, because it's a very... very needed topic to be discussed now.
Over 1.5 million Americans are diagnosed with cancer every year. What these people need most is hope for their journey. The body of Christ can provide real hope.
Our journey of hope is an amazing opportunity for believers to stand in the gap of one of the greatest needs in our nation. There are open doors for the goodness, the grace, and the gospel of Jesus Christ to work in the lives of millions of Americans.
Sybil was diagnosed with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Despite great challenges, she and her husband placed their hope in God.
Cancer patients have to work against unbelievable odds for the possibility of survival. And at the end of that is predicated upon the ability to be hopeful and to believe in a higher power, something that extends beyond you. And in this particular case, we're talking about the faith and the hope in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Sybil and her husband are not alone on their journey. Their church family has come alongside to support them every step of the way.
It's part of being part of the body of Christ, where when one part suffers, we all suffer. And I want to tell you, we've learned to love more and care more because of the difficulty you guys have had. And since seeing you guys, I have a whole new outlook, and I have a whole lot of new advice for anyone with cancer in our church.
They need someone to stand with them and to hold their hand, to wipe the sweat from their forehead, to dry the tears from their eyes, and say that tomorrow potentially can be a better day.
When you have people that support you and lift you up, like here, your family in the body of Christ, it helps you get through that. It helps you to fight that battle. And I don't know how people get through it without it.
Our Journey of Hope is the ministry of love, hope, and encouragement. We provide pastors and ministry leaders with the tools, training, and support to create effective cancer care ministries in their churches and communities.
You have an opportunity to minister to the world in a way that maybe you've never done so, that will allow your ministry to expand its reach and its growth in your local communities.
The first step in launching a cancer care ministry is to attend a cancer care leadership training held throughout the year. During this 2-day workshop, you will receive the training and the resources needed to start a cancer care ministry in your church. Using our biblically based cancer care ministry curriculum, you will be able to equip and empower members of your congregation to meet the spiritual and practical needs of those dealing with cancer. Once training is complete, your team of cancer care ministers will bring hope to those who are hurting.
Greater love has no man than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. You'll know you're his disciples because of your love for one another. And I think that's what signifies the body of Christ and what the church ought to be.
Visit ourjourneyofhope.com to learn more about starting a cancer care ministry in your church.
Gonna get through this jungle.
Ah, don't. No.
Bobby, what was that?
I don't know, but I will check through the binoculars. Oh, my joy, it is a hippopotamus.
Oh, Bobby, let me see.
The strap is around my neck.
Herbie the Hippo, an I Can Read Animal Story. Check us out at homeschoolcompanion.org. That's all one word, homeschoolcompanion.org.
You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Richard Tooley, and with me here is Ann White.
You know, Richard, I talk about in the book that there's four pests of pressure: fear, hurt, sin, and shame. And we all deal with, I wanted to put guilt in there, and that's part in there as well. But anyway, we talk about the four pests of pressure, and that is fear, hurt, sin, and shame. Fear is at the root of so many of our problems. Hurt is at the root of a lot of our problems. Sin and shame are at the root of a lot of our issues that we're dealing with. And those eat away at us as we go through life. And we allow them to just destroy our joy. We compile this on, and we don't want to share that with anyone. So what we were talking about in that we walk through those church doors and we put that mask on, I did it for over 40 years and just pretended everything was okay. We were very close to our pastor and his wife and traveled with them, spent a lot of time with them, very good friends. For 15 years, they had no clue. So it was very hard for me to come out of hiding. And in the book Seven Steps to Courage, I talk about my journey of exposing the truth of what was really going on behind the closed doors of my life and coming out for the first time and asking for help. And that vulnerability and transparency is hard. It's very hard. But that's where Satan wants to keep us. He wants to keep us in isolation and keep us hiding, where he can continue to hit us over the head with all of that shame and self-condemnation. Yet God wants to come and bring us out into freedom. God wants us to come out and embrace transparency and tell someone safe what's going on in our life so that we can lift one another up, encourage one another, and pray for one another so that we might be healed.
Yeah, we have this commitment issue that comes first.
Mm-hmm.
That commitment issue is an interesting one, because it has to lead to the first step after it. And that step's the hardest, I would guess.
Mm-hmm. It is. Well, okay, the acrostic for courage is, number one, the C step is commit to change. The O step is overcome obstacles. And in the book Seven Steps to Courage, I talk about probably the top 10 obstacles that we face. But there's others. We all have different obstacles. We may need courage to take on a new career. We may need the courage to face some financial difficulties. We may need courage to deal with a divorce that just happened and we've got to pick up and carry on. We may need courage to deal with a death in a family. There's all sorts of courage. It may be the courage, a good kind of courage, that you just need the courage to get out and do some of the things that God's encouraging you to do, to be more bold in your faith and courageous. So the seven steps: commit to change, overcome obstacles, uncover the real you. That's the you step in courage. R is replace worldly lies with scriptural truth, because we believe so many worldly lies. The world would have us to believe that we're not valuable, that we're not good enough, we can't do this, and that's where we fall into Satan. A is accept things we cannot change. G is grasp God's love for us. And E is embrace a life of grace. So in the book, I give very practical steps, lots of tips and tools in there from counselors and from the steps that I went through to gain courage.
And with me here is Ann White, and we're talking about her book, Seven Steps to Courage. And we have come through, you just talked about what the acrostic for courage is, and we were moving through these steps. You know, we move through the commitment step. Mm-hmm. We're not going to go through all of the steps because people will, they're going to read the book and get it.
Right. That's what we're hoping for.
Understanding understanding these things at a deeper meaning. You know, we can say the words to them, and as Christians, we live our lives out there in less than transparent states.
Absolutely.
All of us do, because there's this fear of letting anybody inside to see just exactly how imperfect we are.
Right.
And it is actually interesting, because we all are in the same boat. You know, Jesus
we
made
are.
It pretty clear.
We are. We're all in this human skin, you know, while we're here on Earth, and we're all dealing with a lot of the same issues. They may not be identical. They're not going to be. They're all individual, but they're a lot the same. And I have always said one of the most powerful things that a group of people can say to one another is "me too," because there is just comfort in knowing that you're not alone. And there's this fear that holds you in isolation because you feel like you're alone. So when you take the courage step and step out in faith, trust God, and share your story with someone, you'll not only find that it's going to encourage and help you, but it's also going to encourage and help someone else. Because there's someone else waiting for you to be real and for you to be transparent so that they can feel comfortable doing the same thing.
So we go through this courage, we go through the sea, we go through the obstacles. So, you know, it's kind of interesting when you reach these obstacles. I think that, Pilgrim's Progress, the paper
yes.
lions is a perfect
uh-huh.
example of them. Because as we face those things, looking at them going forward, they are huge obstacles. They are impenetrable obstacles. We're mm-hmm. not going to make it through them. And it's not until we actually face them and walk up to them that we find out that they're paper.
Right.
By the grace of God, usually.
Absolutely. It is by the grace of God. You're so right about that. Because they seem like mountains, but no mountain is too difficult for God. You know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And He's not going to allow a mountain in front of us that He can't help us get over. But we've got to bring it out. He doesn't want us to do it all in isolation. We've talked a lot about isolation, but I guess because that was one of my biggest obstacles, and it was one of the first things, and it's something that many of your listeners, many of my readers can understand. They can identify with dealing with that feeling of being alone in their struggles.
You know, we talk to a lot of parents who have school-age children
mm-hmm.
and young children. And the idea, if you're talking with a three-year-old, for instance, we really aren't dealing with isolation here.
Right. They're as transparent as they can be, sometimes
yeah.
more than you'd like for them to be.
But when I start to talk right. to a 13-year-old,
mm-hmm.
somewhere between the eight, this isolation begins as they create the shell around themselves mm-hmm. that protects them from...
This is part one of a two-part series with Anne White talking about her book, 7 Steps to Courage. So join us next week when Dr. Richard Tooley finishes the interview with Anne White and her book, 7 Steps to Courage. You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.